This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
How much work do the Kansas City Chiefs really have in front of them to get back to the mountaintop? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I mean, listen, they've been, they bought, they're not renting at the top of the mountain. You know, five out of the last six Super Bowls they've been playing in, they've won three, Perloff, seven straight AFC championship games. But, you know, two pretty bad beatings in the Super Bowls that they lost. They regrouped after the first loss to Tampa Bay. Rebuilt their offensive line. Didn't get back to the big game right the next season, but then the year after that. Now, though, the question is there a potential Patriots-like drought that could be in front of them with the blueprint clearly out on how to beat them?
Yeah, I think that there's way too much negativity about the Chiefs after this loss. Like, this loss was just one game, right? Like, they can bounce back immediately. And by the way, the Eagles have a tough road. Everybody has a tough road to get back there. I think the Chiefs are still the team to beat in the AFC. There's also the boogeyman thing in the AFC. Like, can you really, what do they have to do to fall apart to make you confident that your Bills could beat them?
Well, until the Bills or the Ravens, you know, beat them, or the Bengals beat them again, you know, they're always going to have that psychological sort of impact, and they keep getting home field advantage. I know last year they went on the road and they beat everybody, but for the most part, they've enjoyed this really nice home field advantage and getting to play all these playoff games in Arrowhead. And I'm not even talking about getting calls. I'm just saying you get home field. It's just so much better. So I'm curious if the rest of the division is actually going to step up and maybe challenge them for the AFC West. Are we going to get Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson finally really play their best games against Kansas City? And are they going to have, more importantly, are those two teams going to have defenses that can do what the Eagles just did to Mahomes and what the Bucks did to Mahomes a couple years ago?
Yeah, I don't think so. Buffalo seems pretty far away on defense. You know, the thing is, if you were going to look at a team that was going to surpass Kansas City, if I told you that Lamar Jackson was going to improve by 30% this year, you would have said
that's
Baltimore.
Scary.
Yeah, I'm looking, by the way, the Chiefs rebuilt their O-line. After 2022, they lost both their starting tackles and signed off the trash heap, Donovan Smith and Juwan Taylor. They can definitely do that again. They just get those guys in there. When Mahomes is your quarterback and Reed is your coach, you don't need the best left tackles.
So we put the poll out for you. What's more likely to happen? The Chiefs win another Super Bowl next year, or the Chiefs go through a Patriots-like nine-year Super Bowl drought? Right now, the Super Bowl drought is winning the poll 60-40. I'm a little surprised by that. But, you know, we talk about parity in sports and about, you know, just how, you know, the Chiefs have made it look easy in some ways, but so did the Patriots for a while. And nobody saw that drought coming, and it was at the hands of two losses in the Super Bowl to the New York Giants of all teams. So you can never tell.
Yeah, I mean, and finally, when the Patriots did win, they won by the skin of their teeth. The win over Seattle was the breaking the drought, right?
And, you know, to be fair, all their Super Bowls were close, but never blown out. Not like the Chiefs have had in their two losses.
Right, and then, you know, all their victories were so crazy close, too. They they had the 28-3 comeback.
I mean, some of the Chiefs' victories, overtime last year, took a James Bradbury defensive holding call against your Eagles, having to come back against the 49ers with Jimmy Garoppolo on the other side. These have been nail biters for the Chiefs, too.
Absolutely. But I just think that there was something a little fluky about that Patriots drought, obviously. Like, nobody, they did not expect to lose to a wild card Giants team twice in a row.
No. 855-212-4227. How do you see it? Okay, it is Wednesday, which means around here we do something called the Great Debate.
The Great Debate Series.
Okay, guys. Today's Great Debate inspired by a little something that's going on in the news, Pro. I'm sure you saw it, which is two former teammates who are feuding. And those two teammates are Cam Newton and Steve Smith Sr. because of Cam's comments that when he joined the Panthers, when he was drafted their number one overall, he joined a locker room of losers. And Steve Smith took exception to that. Cam also said, you know, that he wouldn't give up his MVP to win a Super Bowl, which I think maybe chafed a couple former teammates.
Yeah.
Not Greg Olson, who joined us on Radio Row. He understood it. But a couple other, I think, did not like that. So in honor of this beef, our great debate today is what are the greatest teammate beefs of all time? Teammates who just despised each other. Had to try to get along. Either did make it happen or didn't make it happen. The worst of the worst. Perloff, get us started.
Well, I feel guilty here because you guys let me get the obvious one. The first name that I think popped, the first two names that popped into all our heads were Shaq and Kobe. Shaq and Kobe. Kobe and Shaq. Did we not have sound with that?
We've had our spats. We've had our share of arguments on the floor. For various reasons. He used to get mad at me for not playing team basketball. He used to get mad at me because he wasn't in tip-top shape. We put our differences aside and went out there and played. And we won, and we played great in doing that. So we could have coexisted. We have coexisted.
When was the last time you talked to Kobe?
I don't know. I don't care. I don't know.
If Kobe Bryant called you on your cell phone right now, what would you say to him?
I don't have a cell phone.
I randomly watched a Shaq documentary on HBO during Super Bowl week. It was wildly entertaining. They did get along later in life, and Shaq spoke at his funeral. They probably could have won three more titles. Is that a hot take? I think they could have gone six like Jordan.
No, definitely. And was there anything less convincing than Kobe talking about, hey, it was nothing. He got on me. I got on him.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Yeah. You couldn't even hide that. Kobe's not that good of an actor.
Do you remember the play? I think that a lot of people read symbolism in this. Kobe threw an alley-oop to Shaq. And Shaq was running down the court doing a sort of Superman thing. And Kobe was trying to celebrate with him. And Shaq was ignoring him. I'm of the camp that maybe Shaq was more at fault than Kobe, which is funny because Kobe is maniacally self-driven. I kind of lean towards it was on Shaq, although I'm glad they reconciled.
No, it says I'm going to knock your ass out.
It was kind of one of those, like, camera phones, I think, had just become a thing when Shaq gets caught in the club doing the Kobe, tell me, da-da-da. You know, he did this derogatory kind of rap towards him.
Play him if you want to.
I think that was like right at the beginning of camera phones.
Could be.
Shaq almost got away with that one.
After the Heat. Well, I don't know if Shaq, I think, wanted that out there. Mm-hmm. That was after the Heat won, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, who do you think was more at fault, Shaq and Kobe? Because both of them obviously had gigantic egos.
Yeah.
And deserved to have great egos.
I think it was probably really hard to play with Kobe. Yeah. You know? I think it was hard to play with Jordan.
Yeah, I don't know why. I have a hunch that this was on Shaq. I don't know why.
And he wasn't in shape.
Do it again, Chuck.
That's absolutely fair.
A lot of those seasons, playing himself into shape. Okay, EJ, go ahead. We're doing who are the greatest teammate beefs of all time?
All right. So, I mean, this is pretty recent, but I think considering it broke up another dynasty, considering someone got their face basically bashed in and we all saw it, I'm going with Jordan Poole and Draymond Green as the greatest teammate beef is a beef that is still going. And Draymond Green just a couple weeks ago actually had to talk about it again, because when Jordan Poole said that he liked some of the Warriors over there and not all of them, meaning Draymond Green, Draymond, of course, had to respond.
It's been 3 years. Like, let's move on. You know?
Where's the love?
We moved on. Like, we're supposed to move on, man. I really am sorry. Right. Like, you know, it was that statement was kind of like, it was kind of like it was looking for some sympathy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I kind of keep wanting to make me out to be the bad guy. Move on, bro. Like, it is what it is. I'm sorry. Like, I shouldn't have punched him.
So I'm sorry, but also move on, bro. Get over it. I mean, this
stop being a victim.
Yeah.
Shut up. It's like, all right, I punched you. Get over it.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Mean, yeah, this is a beef that I don't think will ever be resolved. I think that's the difference with a lot of these we're going to talk about. I think some of them may have been resolved. The people squashed them. I think that Jordan Poole will hate Draymond Green forever. Draymond Green is Draymond Green, so I don't think he'll ever truly be apologetic. I just heard him; his apology even is him making excuses and calling Jordan Poole a victim.
He's like, I'm sorry for all the faces I may have punched.
Yeah, so to me, like, I just think in terms of, like, pure hatred that I will think be everlasting, while it's a recent one, I think that Jordan Poole and Draymond Green go right at the top as the greatest teammate beef.
That was whack to me.
Okay, Manny, greatest teammate beef is who?
I will go ahead and stick with the Warriors as well. Remember when Kevin Durant joined the Warriors? He left the Thunder, and, well, he basically left Russell Westbrook all by himself. So I'll go with KD and Russ. I mean, you know, think about when KD left the Warrior or left the Thunder, the cupcake emoji that or cupcake that Russell Westbrook posted, spoke about, called him a cupcake, and then all the on-court jawing that they had. I'll go with KD and Russ.
Good one. Got some sound.
Durant, the crossover. Stolen by Westbrook, but he couldn't hold on. Westbrook saying no. Officials going to have to step in sooner or later, as these former star teammates jawing at each other. Forehead to forehead.
KD and Russ.
Okay, Andrew Bogish, the greatest teammate beefs of all time.
I suspect that my submission's not going to win the ensuing poll, but I don't care because I love gossip. I love salaciousness, so I'm taking to the mid-90s and the Dallas Mavericks.
Unbreak my heart. Say
this the greatest unconfirmed love triangle in NBA history. Jason Kidd, Jimmy Jackson, Jamal Mashburn were supposed to bring the Mavs to prominence, but Kidd and Jackson in particular never got it together, maybe because Tony Braxton got in between the two of them. The most famous story is that she showed up for a date at a hotel in Atlanta, was supposed to go out with Jason Kidd, but left with Jimmy Jackson instead.
Whoa.
This has never really fully been confirmed, reported, whatever, but it's a great story, and it is a great piece of NBA history.
Mm. No doubt. We're talking about the greatest teammate beefs of all time. I'm going to finish it out here. Am I the only person who's picking the NFL? No one decided to go to the NFL here. With Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens, and why it's top of mind is not just because the Eagles won the Super Bowl a couple days ago, is because this beef got reignited this season. Now, we all know about McNabb and T.O. on that 04 Super Bowl team, Perloff, that lost to the Patriots. McNabb puking in the huddle because he was so either nervous or gassed or whatever and kind of blew it. T.O. was playing on a broken leg and still had a fantastic game. T.O. accusing McNabb of being out the night before the Super Bowl. They've just had a terrible relationship after that, caused major rift in the team. T.O. ended up getting suspended for 9 games because they could not get along. T.O. and Donovan McNabb, greatest teammate beef.
Your friend Michael Irvin recently said that if Brett Favre was the starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, they'd be undefeated right now. What do you think of that comment?
I mean, that's a good assessment. I would agree with that.
That was T.O. obviously throwing shade at his quarterback, Donovan McNabb. We all remember T.O. doing sit-ups in the driveway of his home in suburban Philadelphia, and he was gone pretty soon after that. So T.O., Donovan McNabb, greatest teammate beef.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little one-sided. I mean, it was name a quarterback that T.O. did not beef. Name a human that T.O. did not beef with.
So it's funny, though, that this got reignited earlier this year in December when Brandon Graham called out A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts for not having a good relationship. And Don McNabb said, well, you should really go to somebody man to man if you have a problem with them. And T.O. said, well, that's funny, because when you and I had a problem, you were always sending messages through the media and you never came to me.
Dear God. I mean, first of all, Brandon Graham thinks that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown were a problem. He was not there for T.O. I mean, we were there for T.O. That guy was hard to get along with.
I mean, kept him out of the Hall of Fame for a couple of years. His, his reputation as a locker room cancer.
The sit-ups were about the contract. It wasn't about Donovan. Yeah. But also, I think T.O. subtly went after all the Niners, too. Like, that was not good.
He hated Jeff Garcia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
love Romo, though.
Did love Romo.
Cried about Romo. That's my quarterback.
Yeah, that's a good one.
By the way, I'm surprised that nobody picked another NFL one that is still simmering, which is Richard Sherman and Russell Wilson. Now, Wilson doesn't want any part of this, but Richard Sherman won't let it go.
I think the only reason why I didn't really consider that one is because I felt like while they were teammates, it didn't feel like there was a lot going on. It almost feels like it happened a little more after Sherman left.
I don't know. There's the story about after the Malcolm Butler at the goal line debacle in the Super Bowl, they all went to Hawaii and they like went to the top of a mountain to try to clear the air and kind of like, you know, as a team, everyone get on the same page. And they felt like they really made a lot of progress, and they come down the mountain and Russell Wilson has a plane waiting for them with his name on the side of it to fly them all back to Seattle.
It's spicy.
Yeah, I mean,
get it.
No, it was there. We learned that story, though, recently, right? Was that happened? We didn't know about that when it happened, right?
Not when it happened, but not recently.
Well, I feel like that one is like Richard Sherman's made a cottage industry of ripping Russ. That's true. It's kind of got old. Like, he was a one-trick pony. And then I think Richard Sherman actually is a really good analyst and stopped. He got better when he stopped talking about Russ. It'd be like a Bears-Vikings game, and he's gone 9 minutes about Russ. Then Andrew Whitworth's like, are you watching this game? Anyway, Richard Sherman does have that funny commercial where the dip falls on his jacket. Anyway, by the way, can we say one thing about Bogus's?
Yeah.
Jim Jackson, I can understand that. That might be the most handsome NBA player of all time. Can we get a ruling on that?
Jim Jackson?
Yeah, oh, handsome dude.
Very, I mean, maybe man. The most handsome pro athlete.
My vote is for Quentin Grimes, but I digress.
Oh, my God. You are the worst.
Wait, so you're Jim not even a Jackson?
Wait, you don't know about Jim Jackson and the good-looking?
I don't know. I've never really thought about it, but...
What?
You guys all apparently have put a lot of time in.
Oh, yeah. Jim Jackson. Kendall Gill was also a heartthrob back in the day.
Yeah.
There was but Jim Jackson in particular, like, was like, oh my God, I can't even look at that guy. The jaw is way too square. Okay. Wait, you don't know about Jim Jackson? I'm surprised that this has never come up.
Sorry, never made my text thread.
Yeah, Jim Jackson on the Mavs, too. I mean, this guy is a fox.
Yeah.
I was actually going right
that many.
More current Jimmy Jackson.
He's great now, too.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Good announcer.
He'd come on the DP show a lot. We're like, we can't do Zoom with this guy anymore. It's
just, putting you all to shame.
Like, Dan would just like start staring at the screen and forget to ask a question.
This is one good-looking dude.
Did you just discover who Jim Jackson is?
No, I know who Jim Jackson was, but I know old Jim Jackson.
See, Jason Kidd to even be in a love triangle with him, that just shows that Kidd had game. He must have. His kid, great, great player, great coach. He's not a model.
No.
Interesting. All right. Well, the great debate is actually great teammate beefs. Not is Jim Jackson the most attractive player of grace in NBA court.
We'll do that next week.
Yeah. Incredible shoulders.
When Bogus introduced that, he introduced Mashburn into that mix. I was like, wait, that'd be a love rectangle.
No, the three of them were supposed to be
right.
The
Mashburn
new
never dated.
Collateral damage.
Just want to remember, he never dated Tony Braxton. Mashburn had nothing to do with this, right?
I don't think so. But also a handsome guy.
Yeah, very handsome.
Jamal Mashburn?
From New York.
Yeah.
All athletes are good looking.
That's not true. We just said Jason Kidd's not.
Well, I mean,
we're also not drafting
Carson
Beck off the space.
But generally, like, Yeah, like most young athletes are pretty good looking. Anyway, yeah, Jamal Mashburn's okay. I give him a B minus.
Jeez.
I'm glad you went with a letter after I'll give him.
Imagine if you.
No, I mean, for an athlete. That's good.
Glad that was a grade.
Imagine if he's in his car right now. Just like a B plus. What'd you say?
B minus.
B minus.
When we were at DP show, we would do the handsome quarterback draft every year.
Mm-hmm.
That was when things got real.
I know who's at the top right now, and that's that unfortunate Super Bowl winning quarterback. That's a good looking dude.
Yeah, heard the square jaw. The square jaw.
You all right, Max?
Guys, am I all right? I mean, hyperventilating like, over there over Jalen Hurts.
We're talking about facial symmetry like there's no tomorrow.
I think I'm the only one holding it together in this in this entire segment.
Let's be honest about that backfield. Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley, whew, I don't like them, but that's a good-looking duo.
Saquon is a little like...
Don't get me started on Saquon. Like Saquon's a good-looking dude.
I don't know.
Don't lie.
Manny will fight you.
Don't Saquon? Spread Saquon Barkley? Have you seen a picture of Saquon Barkley?
He's a very handsome man.
Yeah, but he's got this boyish charm about him.
Women like that.
Jalen Hurts is a man.
Oh, yeah. No argument there.
I don't know.
You know, this is all going to come back like on me, you know?
Yeah. Maggie, your thoughts.
Yeah, no,
Mackay,
I'm not going to answer
Mackay
the question.
Becton fan?
Yeah, right. Maggie, do you think Jalen Hurts looks like a man?
Oh. You know, the star of the Super Bowl, we can all agree on this, not even good looking, but the personality star of the Eagles was in our hotel. Every time I walked by, this man was talking to a little kid who was getting a signature. Jordan Mailata he's the star of the Eagles. Can we all agree on that?
I got actually a text message from our boss, Ryan Hurley, when he's like, you're never going to believe it. I'm here at the hotel having dinner by myself, and Jordan Mailata is like holding court, signing autographs for every single little kid who comes up to him.
And his accent is so, I didn't realize, I guess I hadn't heard a lot of Jordan Mailata.
What's that sound like?
New Zealand. Can I do New Zealand? I'm thinking Flight of the Conchords. Or is he Australian? He's one of the two.
Oh, jeez.
This is going to be good.
You're not going to get it right either way.
Hello, Jalen. No, that was too. Throw another shrimp on the Bobby.
Oh, God.
Throw another shrimp on the Barbie, Jalen.
Why don't you hit on Jalen Hurts in an Australian accent?
Jalen Hurts is not my type, by the way. I don't like the facial hair that much. I liked him when he actually, remember preseason, he came out without the facial hair?
No.
I hated that.
He looked like a different person.
That wasn't it. Facial hair is like makeup for women. Like you got, man, like you get that. That's where your money's
made. Maggie's like, I got to get control back. Now we're debating if Jalen Hurts looks better with or without the goatee.
Yeah, I know.
We know the answer to that. There is no debate.
That's a man. It's a man with a beard.
I think it's a good analogy, though, about seeing a man who like shaves a mustache or a beard. It's like seeing a woman without makeup. It's like, oh, you look different.
Is it usually better or worse?
Well, I don't know. Your look's your look for a reason. I don't know a lot of men who went from only wearing a beard or a mustache and then shaved it, and everyone was like, wow, he looks a lot better. Because like, it's like when guys sign with the Yankees, and all of a sudden they have to go totally clean shaven. Well, it's like, ooh.
I'll tell Johnny you one. Damon. Sorry, who caused a lot of issues for the Maggie and Perloff show.
Who's that?
The fact that I walked right by Matt Patricia was he was about to come on the show because he shaved his entire beard and cut his hair. And I'm like, who are you?
I know. Like, Perloff, our guest is here.
Yeah. We're after the interview, we both said, are we sure that was Matt Patricia? Have you ever seen a coach look more different in your life?
No, the beard is totally gone, and he must have lost 180 pounds.
Such a good dude, by the way.
Yeah, Perloff was like going through Google images on his phone, being like, yeah, I think we did get the right guy. I think we did.
By the way, did you see where he interviewed yesterday?
Oh.
Ohio State defensive coordinator.
Whoa,
possibly
that'd be cool.
All these Patriots are going back to college. Bill O'Brien's at BC. Bill Belichick's obviously at North Carolina.
That's a good move for him.
Charlie Weiss went to Notre Dame.
Did they hire an offensive coordinator to replace Chip Kelly yet? What if they go with like some sort of former Patriots?
No, they they promoted Brian Hartline.
Oh, okay.
Okay, the great debate today was the greatest teammate beefs of all time that veered into some pretty uncomfortable territory.
What you mean?
Yeah, I'm fine with that conversation.
Actually, great.
Yeah, no regrets on this side.
Okay. Just me feeling awkward then.
Great. You should do female sideline reporters when we come back.
Yeah, let's do that next and we'll all get fired. All right, guys, let's grade Aaron Andrews, and I'll see you all in the parking lot.
Let's do the males. Peter Schrager looked great at the Super Bowl.
Evan Washburn, handsome
guy. I mean, Evan Washburn's hair. I mean, come on. Yeah, we're talking undefeated. First team all pro.
Yep. And me and Manny were watching Chris Myers doing the dog show, Timeless.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
No. Chris Myers. Chris Myers is timeless?
Yeah.
He's,
okay. All right.
Same in 1998 as he is now. I agree with that.
Anyway, teammate beefs. 855-212-4227. What do you got?
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I feel a little bad about our last segment. We're talking about handsome NBA players.
Well, that's not how the segment started.
Right, right. It was a great debate. Best teammate feuds. But I just felt bad because we left out some of the modern guys. I'm looking at players who also could be runway models. It has Zach LaVine, Kelly Oubre, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Boring.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown and Russell Westbrook. Well, Westbrook's a good-looking man.
Guys, this started with teammate beefs. That's what this was supposed
but
to be.
And now I'm beefy teammates.
Yeah, now it got, because Bogus did Jim Jackson and Jason Kidd in this always, you know, rumored love triangle with Tony Braxton. And then we got sidetracked on Jim Jackson being handsome, and now we're not talking about teammate beefs anymore.
No, but do you understand the common thread here? Why do you think these teammate beefs happen? Because the handsome guy stole the other guy's girl.
I was like, because they're secretly in love with each other? I don't know where you're going with this.
Absolutely. Why do you think teammates fight? There's only one reason ever.
Women.
Women or targets when it comes to the NFL, wide receiver, quarterback. But it's always a romantic triangle. Whether you like it or not, there was a woman involved. In fact, we probably don't even know the backstory, but pretty much every feud we just talked about. So these handsome players come in there. Tony Braxton showed up for a date with Jason Kidd, walked out with Jim Jackson. Kind of the same debate.
You said Kelly Oubre was on that list. There's a reason why his nickname is Tsunami Poppy.
Tell us.
That's a good looking dude. That's why. Are you kidding me?
All right, Sean.
I thought that
Morgan.
Was Jordan Clarkson. That's Jelly.
That's Kelly. No, it's Kelly.
He's the eyes of an angel.
What's Jordan Clarkson's nickname?
The guy who always fights for no reason.
Sean, what do you have, dude?
Hey, you know, all those guys are pretty handsome you guys are talking about.
That's right, yeah.
But there was a guy that used to play basketball, and he didn't even look like an athlete. It was Rick Fox.
Yeah.
And then there's another guy I was watching one time shoot a free throw, and this girl runs out on the basketball court and kisses Wally Szczerbiak while he's shooting a free throw. I'll never forget that.
I don't remember that happening.
It was crazy. And you should have seen the smile on Wally's face after this girl runs on the court and lays one on him.
Oh, my gosh. I want to see this footage. We know Wally a little bit. I've never seen this before. But, Sean, you're right about Rick Fox.
About
I mean, married to Vanessa
Williams.
Vanessa Williams. So she was Miss Universe or Miss USA?
Have a great day, guys.
You too, Sean. I think she was Miss Universe.
I think she was Miss USA, therefore in Miss Universe, but I don't know if she was Miss Universe.
I mean, imagine how good-looking their kids must be. I've never seen a picture of them, but with two parents like that, it's like Brady and Giselle. Yeah. Their kids are all, you know, super stunning.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade, I'm sure, if they have kids. They
Dwayne Wade is one people always say is really handsome. All right, do we just do the great debate? Scrap this one. Forget teammate beefs. Most handsome athletes?
Gotta re-rack and get our picks out now. It's too many great athletes to pick.
I know, it's a lot.
Cam Newton, not hard on the eyes.
And just for balance, Tony Braxton looked ridiculous in the Unbreak My Heart video as I was finding
it. She's so pretty.
She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
It's why the Dallas Mavericks
broke up. More than two Mavericks should have fought over her.
So there's a couple. Yeah, right. Where was everyone else?
Yeah. Where was Fat Lever and all this? Sean Bradley, come on, man.
There's a couple different ones like this. So we're doing greatest teammate beefs. But when it comes to love triangles, so obviously the Tony Parker, Brent Berry, love triangle.
Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes, though, was like at. Only Barnes was still playing.
That it was Derek Fisher was the head coach of the Knicks when that happened.
That's right.
Can you imagine? You're the head coach of the Knicks, and you had to answer a question about why you flew back to LA, I think, during a break.
It was before training camp, I think.
Oh, it was before training
camp. Right before training camp.
Yeah. And Matt Barnes rolled up on you at like a barbecue or something because he's dating his ex, Gloria.
There's also a love triangle in European soccer, Mauro Icardi and Maxi Lopez, a couple of Argentinians who played in Italy. Lopez was married to a woman, and Icardi they were teammates, again, on the national team and in Italy, and Icardi just stole his wife.
Wow.
It was something for a little bit. And then there were the guys, the two Yankees in the late 70s. They just switched
Fritz Peterson and Mike Hecht.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just family swapped.
You think they did that in the North Jersey colony that you were saying?
The nudist colony that I live in the same town as, which I looked up, is also the oldest nudist colony in the United States.
Goodness.
Started in the 1930s, guys. Same location, like same area of New Jersey.
Prohibition, you know?
I was going to say, that's why they didn't go south. The states weren't... They weren't colonized yet. We didn't have Florida and Texas.
Amazing.
Still the Republic of Texas back then.
People looking for the Fountain of Youth. They're not finding it in New Jersey, but it's not stopping them. I don't know why this quest has to be clothless. Okay, Bogues, headlines.
Well, Maggie, when you weren't here Friday, the morning after Josh Allen won the MVP in an upset, I pointed out that Josh thanked everybody in Bills Mafia except for you in his acceptance speech.
Forgiven.
Even Slick Rick from the Bills mailroom got a mention, and now we're hearing from Slick Rick himself.
When he went on stage, you know, everything, I was happy that he had won it, and it went from joyful to crying because when he mentioned my name, I just broke down. I broke down because I'm just an average person. I mean, but when he mentioned my name, it was like, oh my God, he just mentioned my name on national television, you know, so it was like, I was just crying. I was crying. Then I started getting phone calls from friends, and I was crying on the phone to them. It's still like a dream. Even though I work here, but I don't like this publicity. I don't. I'm just down to earth.
Slick Rick's the best.
Oh, man. This is how much Josh means to that whole organization. We haven't talked about it yet. I haven't gotten a chance to give you guys my thoughts. I'll just quickly give them to you. What it meant for Bills fans for Josh to win the MVP is that this is all hasn't been for nothing yet, right? Like, you can't tell this era of NFL football without Josh Allen. I do honestly believe that, even though he hasn't been able to vanquish Mahomes yet. And so I'm glad that he got that recognition. It's not the end-all be-all. It doesn't mean the mission is accomplished, but at least there's some recognition that he has been a worthy adversary to Mahomes.
Does that mean, because Joel Embiid got the MVP, that the process worked?
I don't know. Does it?
I think it's a similar analogy. I don't know when it's all said and done if that MVP is going to really satisfy you, Maggie.
It's definitely not if they don't win the Super Bowl, but at least there's just some acknowledgement that this is not, that he's, you know, everyone believes that he is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So he should get that award. And I also think there's a reality to this for people who wanted Lamar to win a third one. Listen, I don't think voters were comfortable giving Lamar a third one until he plays better in the postseason.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just a reminder, the MVP and the ultimate team sport is not that impactful in the NFL.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it's just like the MVP doesn't totally work, but we talk about it a lot. And also, Allen, like, he had his worst year statistically at his best year efficiency. Yep. So it's kind of hard to evaluate. But Allen's a Hall of Famer, right? And this, he didn't even need this MVP. He is a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah, but I'm glad he has it. It's just, again, it's not, it doesn't mean,
yeah.
It's just an acknowledgement that, yes, he really is one of the best quarterbacks, but he needs to win. And that's it. That's the bottom line, folks.
The Slick Rick clip, by the way, courtesy of Buffalo's ABC affiliates. Kevin Durant became the eighth member of the NBA's 30,000-point club last night, but his Suns took a 119-112 home loss from the Grizzlies. Phoenix has now dropped 5-6. Cade Cunningham, 20 points, 6 boards, 7 helpers in the Pistons' 132-92 rout of the Bulls. Karl-Anthony Towns and Josh Hart combined for 70 points, 22 rebounds, and multiple naughty dreams for Manny in a 128-115 Knicks win in Indy.
You're damn right!
And the Raptors snapped their 4-game skid, 106-103 in Philly. Before that game, those Raptors signed the newly acquired Brandon Ingram to a 3-year extension worth $120 million.
Giving a guy $120 before he puts on your jersey is quite a decision.
Yeah, I wonder if it's just hard to get guys to sign in Toronto. I was actually surprised. I'm like, oh, Brandon Ingram committing to the Raptors. You know, with the tariffs and whatnot.
Well, he got in early. He's pre-tariffs.
Yeah,
he might come back.
Ask me to do that math. I have no idea.
We were denied Big Ten history last night.
Here up the floor, Holloman fires up a 3. Missed it. Ball game.
Indiana wins. Final score, Indiana 71-67. They had the scoreboard wrong here at the end. I'm looking at it, I'm going, what happened there?
Don Fisher on Learfield, I believe 71-61 was the final score. No matter what, Indiana won, snapping a five-game skid at number 11 Michigan State, keeping Tom Izzo on 353 Big Ten wins career. He is still tied for the most all-time with Bob Knight.
Wait, did you see that his childhood friend Steve Mariucci, the former NFL coach, flew in to watch the game because they thought that he was going to break the record last night?
Oh.
And I'm wondering now, does Mariucci have to, like, follow him?
Like the Maris family and Aaron Judge?
I was going to say, yeah. Like the Marises, speaking of Toronto, they had to traipse all over North America.
Not on Mike Woodson's watch.
Come on, Mooch. You got to keep it up.
Fifth-ranked Tennessee fell at number 15 Kentucky last night, 74-64. Number 13 Arizona losing at K-State, 73-70. The Wildcats now on a six-game winning streak, the K-State version. Four of those six wins coming against ranked opponents. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Okay, you can continue to react to our great debate today, the greatest teammate beefs of all time. Or is it the most handsome athlete of all time?
The two are the same debate.
This guy's a fox.
Yeah, yeah. Is the shooting guard going to steal my girlfriend? That is what these beefs are about. That's you don't think Shaq and Kobe had a woman involved at some point? You're crazy.
Who do you think it was?
Oh, who knows? I mean, this is...
Could have been Tony Braxton.
I watched Shaq talk about it. He was wildly cheating on his wife.
Yeah, he admits that.
Kobe outed that.
What?
Kobe, remember the famous video? Right. So.
Yeah. Wait, hold on one second. What's the Shaq documentary you're talking about?
Oh, it's amazing. It's HBO. I don't... EJ, do you know what it's about?
I know what you're talking... I watched the first episode, but I know the doc you're talking about.
Oh, anyway.
Is this as new?
No, it's maybe like 3 years old, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it is. I was watching the replay on... You know, we were in the hotel room without the streaming ability, so I was just flipping through cable. It is the most incredible story I've ever heard in my life.
What is it? What do we not know about Shaq? Well,
and he goes in behind some of the businesses he's involved in. That's just incredible. Like the guy was average. You forget how many ads he's done over the last 5 years.
Still doing them. Icy Hot, The General, Papa John's, off the top of my head.
You know, he didn't get into it specifically, but the women were a problem. He was talking about it was just too hard to be an NBA player and say no to women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, trust me.
1, 2, 3, like 1, 2, back to 1.
We all the guys here being radio, we can relate to that. It's just hard with
Leave us alone.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Yeah, you guys are fighting them off. They're all standing basically by the doorway.
Jennifer Aniston is here.
She's waiting for a glimpse. Yeah.
I mean, again, I will argue that most of the times, have you guys ever gotten most of the arguments I've seen, like real arguments, are over the opposite sex or your partners.
Are there such thing as radio groupies? I'm going to be honest. I've never seen one.
I've found
one. They're guys in their 50s from Long Island.
Yeah, yeah.
Who had to call in with net sticks. Ronald and Flushing.
Most radio groupies are shut-ins.
Bogus went to high school with four of them.
They send letters that look like hostage notes with letters cut out from magazines.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine if we had groupies. You guys wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yeah, I would.
Well, Maggie, I don't think so.
We would not. But again, we could be rich off your foot groupies if you'd let us.
Listen, that's my audience that I work very hard to cultivate. You guys are going to have to do what you will with your own feet.
Emphasis on cult on that word.
Yeah. I can't tell if they want strands of my hair.
They do.
To burn. In yes. Some kind of totem?
Answer is yes to all every question.
Everything's for sale, guys. What do you want? Yeah, I meant it. 855-212. I'm the only one trying to make money around here. 855-212-4227. Okay, lots more to do, including what's the latest with Rodgers? What's going on? An ultimatum, perhaps, about doing interviews with Pat McAfee? This thing's getting absurd.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Do it next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Let's get to Aaron Rodgers.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Going Splitsville from the New York Jets. That's what he's doing. Now, Perloff, we got some new reporting here from our friend Diana Rossini. It's all over this story. Apparently, Rodgers flew back to New York last week to meet with the Jets brass, and that at least the Jets say they were open to a possible reconciliation with Rodgers, but a couple stipulations had to be met.
Okay.
The stipulations were that Rodgers would not be permitted to make outside media appearances during the season, so that means his regular paid appearance on the Pat McAfee show, and also he would be required to attend all mandatory practices. Last year, he missed two mandatory minicamp practices when he went on that infamous trip to Egypt. Now, Diane also said she believes that Rodgers went into that meeting wanting a split, so maybe there could have been nothing that would have reconciled the two, but that this appears to be a deal breaker.
Yeah.
He will not give up the McAfee appearances, and I don't know about the minicamp stuff, but what do you think? They would break up over this.
I think that's just an excuse because I believe that totally is true, and I'm sure the Jets want him to go to mandatory minicamp and not go right. But the football doesn't make any sense anymore right now. Like they didn't look like they were close to winning with Rodgers there, so it's time from a football standpoint to move on. So to me, it feels like a bit of an excuse, right? Like they thought that Rodgers could win with them, they would overlook all this stuff.
I would agree about that. I just think it's really short-sighted from both sides if this actually is a thing. Because
is it, though? Are you sure it's not time to move on for both sides?
You know, I think that Rodgers probably will go somewhere else and be a bridge quarterback, right?
Yeah.
He's going to be 2 years off the Achilles.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would be a bad mentor to a young player. Seemed like he was able to work things out with Jordan Love, as dicey as it was at the very beginning. I think Rodgers was actually a good mentor to him. So why wouldn't the Jets want to keep him around to groom their next quarterback, especially when you have him under contract already?
Well, I just think because of the personality stuff is too big for him to be bridge. He can't be a bridge quarterback. He should retire. That again, you're absolutely right. Like he probably, if he wants to play, will be a bridge quarterback in somewhere like Tennessee or Las Vegas. Maybe he goes
Pittsburgh.
To Steelers, which is a little bit different. But this is no, if you can't win a Super Bowl, what are you doing?
Well, you're playing because, you know what, he's not done yet, probably. And, you know, who are you and I to say don't come back for another year? I know he's so good and his career has been so prolific that it seems like Super Bowl or bust. But doesn't he get the right to say, hey, I just want to keep playing?
No. Yeah, of course he gets the right to do whatever he wants. But that's so sad legacy-wise to go. And the two spots I keep coming back to, the Titans and the Raiders don't have enough talent. You can't go and be 7-10 or 6-11 in either of those spots. That would be such a whimper of a end of a career. You know, all the other greats at least went to a place where they thought they had a chance to compete one last time.
Listen, the Steelers could be a not-so-sleeping giant.
Oh, God.
Their defense is really good, and the offense was not good, but they were getting not enough from the quarterback position in terms of production. And they need some more playmakers.
There are a couple things about this. I don't know that the Steelers go there because that doesn't feel like a Steelers move.
Well, what else are they going to do? They just brought in Russell Wilson.
Keep Russ.
Why, though?
You're
definitely not winning with Russ.
Because they're conservative as all get out. Like, they're not risk-taking. And also, what does he have to... Who's he throwing to on that offense?
Well, that's a problem. But you know what? If there's anything you can change in an offseason, I feel like it is skill position players. Because you always have a lot of really talented wide receivers coming out in the draft every year. Yeah. And so that part of it...
But you know who couldn't improve their skill position players last year and desperately tried? The Steelers. They tried to get Ayuk. They couldn't. Yeah. They couldn't do anything. They went into the season with no receivers. And they have Arthur Smith as their coordinator.
Listen...
Don't do it.
Something run-focused might not be a terrible thing for Rodgers. I guess going back to the report, though, from The Athletic, which is that he, you know, may have balked at not doing the McAfee appearances, like, I just think it's really short-sighted. Mm. You know, Rodgers has to understand... You start flirting around with being a vice presidential candidate, people are going to have a reaction to it. You can't play dumb on that stuff.
Oh, that old sports narrative.
See it all the time.
Yeah, my backup center wants to be the attorney general. Darn it. Oh, I hate Kathy Hochul.
And then on the flip side, if you are a team... You know, and if you feel like Rodgers can be a part of it, then you got to trust that your 40-year-old quarterback's going to show up to minicamp, or you got to trust that he's going to be able to, you know, keep an interview on the tracks. And
you know, you're right. Like, you're not getting that.
Like, we're talking about actual professional football here, and it's going to come down to some kind of ego thing of I'm saying you can't do this, and I'm going to say yes, I can because of an interview. I mean, I get it. He's friends with McAfee, gets paid to do it, what have you. But we're talking about your career.
Yeah, but I mean,
it
he's Aaron
Rodgers. Sounds silly.
I don't know. I mean, he's earned the right to not go to minicamp. And I think the two issues, he's earned the right to set his own schedule to do whatever he wants.
Well, here's the thing. Mandatory minicamp, I think everyone should be there. But I also thought the Jets totally botched that thing. The guy missed two practices. He was there for every other practice. I know. I went there. I saw him. And he was there for everything in the offseason program. He made a point to be there. For them to do the non-excused absence and make what should have been a non-story a one-month story, that's the Jets stepping in it because they will make any controversy bigger than it needs to be.
See, I think this is all noise. I think they know that the timing isn't right. They don't need a 41-year-old quarterback right now. They need to look ahead.
Yeah, but where? Who?
I don't know. I'm not that I can't answer.
Hard.
Tough question.
All right, coming up next, we're looking ahead to the offseason.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.